Mark Rubenstein, a forensic psychiatrist and best-selling writer of thrillers and medical nonfiction, knows his way around foreign blackjack tables, back alleys, and dangerous mountain roads. Even though A Splendid Death, his new nail biter, starts out in the working-class, iron-bound district of Newark, New Jersey, and is told from the perspective of an innocent 21-year-old protagonist. In fact, the tension-filled blackjack scenes, which take place in a secretive casino on the Costa Brava during Franco's reign, keep the pages turning fast. Not to mention that Rubenstein quickly explains how the card game works. Luck and cunning. The plot, involving a sophisticated con scheme by so-called good guys against violent, corrupt government officials, or is that last redundant, unfolds slowly, but gathers in suspense and violence. And it's not until the end that the title, A Splendid Death, is realized. Though some devices seem familiar in such thug-suffused narratives where murder outguns mystery, Rubenstein manages to sustain anxiety about the fate of his two unusual main characters, brothers Aaron and Brett, who haven't seen each other for some years. Brett, 7 years older and the golden boy of Aaron's youth, unbelievably smart, skilled, charming, a multi-talented Adonis who turns heads when he walks by, has been abroad traveling all over. A Princeton graduate who could have had a share of careers and women, he's always heeded the siren call of adventure, though he dearly loves his younger brother and feels for him back in Newark, barely eking out a living and helping to support their elderly, sick Aunt Flora. Their parents were killed in a car crash 3 years earlier. They keep in slight touch. And then one day in July 1968, when the story begins, Brett surprisingly insists that Aaron meet him in Spain. The promises of a brotherly rendezvous in glorious surroundings. For Aaron, hesitant and ordinary in comparison to Brett, the offer seems odd, but fond memories of his charismatic brother mentoring him, always knowing what to do and how to do it, triumph. He goes to Spain, but he cannot fathom how Brett has so much money. The third-person narrative proceeds with Aaron's italicized passages, which is the reader's point of view, imagining the worst. Rubenstein's prose is direct, nothing fancy but spot on. The fictional town San Martin delights, as Brett points out to Aaron, have you noticed? No fast food chains, no garbage in the streets, a tourist mecca for wealthy northern Europeans, so unlike Newark. But what San Martin also has becomes ominously clear. The Guardia, government soldiers, mercenaries protected by Franco. Rubenstein doesn't even give them names, they're just Redbeard, military guy, with their hands in every pocket and physical violence on their agenda. A sinister glance from one of them means trouble. Aaron, naive, guileless, soon gets that glance. He doesn't understand their culture of viciousness and terror. And the mayhem begins and goes on. It's brutal, but compelling. In an end note, the meticulous author points out slight changes he's made, creating a fiction or two in the service of telling the story. After all, he says, the story is what counts. He points out that the story mentions a $1,000 bill and a $500 bill, large denominations most people would deny exist. But they did once. Issued in 1861, recalled in 1969. Who says you don't learn facts from even the most violent fiction? I'm Joan Baum.